Hi, I'm Chris Kepler, and welcome to Does This Happen to You? I'm an actor, voice actor, audiobook narrator, and writer. I love telling and sharing stories about the strange experiences my friends and I have while doing mundane things like grocery shopping. That's why this podcast features funny stories from fantastic writers about our daily anomalies, a micro audiobook about life and befuddlement just for you. Our story this week is from Phil Truman, who you'll find on Medium.com. And here is Three Rescues for the Price of One. One boy, one dog, one old coot. Bentley and I don't see eye to eye. The reason? Bentley is a brown-eyed boxer slash shepherd slash God knows what else mix, and I'm an old coot. He's now 8, so that makes him 56 in dog years. Younger than me, but he's catching up. My oldest grandson and I rescued Bentley 5 years ago. The 11-year-old boy had just found out another baby would invade his house in less than a year, and he was livid. He'd already suffered through 2 other babies in his life, his 4 years younger brother and a sister not yet a year old. This last one was a surprise to his parents and infuriating to the boy. Despite being the senior sibling of the household, he didn't like it one damn bit. Not sure why? Less room and attention for him, I guess. Who knows how an 11-year-old thinks? Anyway, we live in the same town, so I went over to get him out of the house and hopefully his snit. Seemed like a good excuse to go get ice cream. I had no actual plan. Figured we'd hit a Best Buy to troll through the electronic wonders, maybe visit a Brahms. A big pet store occupied part of the same retail cluster as the Big Geek Paradise. As we passed it, a sign outside announced a rescue dog audition inside. By that, I mean dogs that needed it, not those that did it. The boy opted for that. He already had a pet dog, but his sudden excitement was much better than his silent brooding. What the heck? That's where we found the beast, the biggest dog on display, a silky blonde 65-pounder. He lay in his cage yawning while all the little yippers and medium barkers on display set off a cacophonous row. He looked up at us and gave Jameson's offered fingers a token lick through the wires. Name on the cage read Bentley. Sounded like an English butler. Doubted this dog would hunt. "Gramp, you need a dog," Jameson said. "No, I don't." I'd been dogless for 2 years, already outlived 5 in my life. The last a retriever slash lab I'd gotten as a pup stayed by my side for 14 years. Then one day he couldn't stand up. Losing a dog is hard. Life happenings with kids and jobs take you on past dead dogs when you're younger, but it gets harder the older you get. "Come on, Gramp, I like this one." "You gonna feed it and take care of it?" A question meant to be rhetorical. "Sure." "No, you won't, because you don't live with me. Besides, you've got a dog." "But I want one at your house." I eyed the boy with grandfatherly scorn. "I know your game. You're trying to play me. Again." Bentley lounged on the pad in his cage, yawned again like a grizzly. I remembered reading somewhere that dog yawning expressed anxiety, also boredom and sleepiness. The dog and boy made a connection right away. 2 pairs of big brown hopeful eyes stared back at me. I yawned. "Let me tell you, it's easier to get a real ID than adopt a dog from an animal shelter. But after a 3-week wait and a background check that would have gotten me into Area 51, Jameson and I brought Bentley home. My home." That happened 5 years ago. The boy hasn't once fed him. However, every time he comes over, Bentley pounces on him, slavering him with licks and a set of happy dances. You'd think the dog would remember who puts food in his bowl twice a day and lets him out to poop. I'm not resentful or jealous, though. Kind of gives me a warm feeling that two critters I introduced hit it off so well. Besides, inducements for a 16-year-old to come visit his old gramp are hard to come by. But the boy likes dogs, and the dog likes humans. Think in some sense Bentley is grateful we pulled him off death row. Back to my opening statement. The dog and I don't see eye to eye. First, he thinks he's a chihuahua. He likes to jump on my lap when I'm in the gramp chair watching TV. I can take that for about 5 minutes until he shifts his position and puts a huge paw with his considerable weight behind it into my crotch. Then he puts his head in my direct line of sight to the TV. I keep telling him he's not a cuddly lap dog, but he ignores me. Next, he thinks he's a cat. I put food out, he sniffs at, and gives me a look which says, "Nope. What else you got?" This has been going on from the beginning. We've tried every brand in Walmart. Another look says, "How about some of that stuff you're eating? I could go for that, but not the veggies." His most annoying behavior. He urinates where I don't want him to. Never gets more than 2 feet off the patio. I think that's all he had while in stir, and I can't get him to break the habit. His pee is more toxic than Agent Orange. I thought about bottling it up and selling it to compete with Roundup, but my lawyer didn't want to fight all the probable lawsuits. So I've got this yellow strip of dead grass all around my patio. Thought about training him to pee on all the foliage sprouting in the cracks of my driveway, but I don't have the patience. He lies on the bed in the room I call my office every day and does his work while I do mine. He sleeps, I write. He loves to lick my elbow. It's annoying. Usually comes when I'm at my computer deep in thought, just getting into the zone. His way of telling me he needs to go kill some more grass around the patio. I try to ignore him, but he persists until my elbow is wetter than SpongeBob in the shower. I can only put him off for so long before he barks at me. I usually go out with him to discourage his patio edge fetish, but sometimes I stop at the pantry for a snack. I think he counts on that. Back at our workstations, he picks up on his sleeping where he left off, like a true professional, while I try to reconstruct my thought processes. Those plans, as Robert Burns once said, "gan af agli," which is Gaelic for "turn to poop." Two examples. I discovered several months after the fact a minor character killed in Chapter 2 came back to life in Chapter 28, and like current-day genderists, I blithely changed the sex of two children from male to female, one chapter to the next, totally without their or their parents' consent. Happy ending. The boy and his newest, junior-most little sister are now the best of buds. So happened they hit it off better than him and the dog. Although Bentley and I disagree on a lot of things, he is my current dog. I just hope he outlives me. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the story, let me know and share it with your friends. Follow me at ChrisKKArya on Twitter or Chris K. Kepler on Facebook, or check out my website, www.chriskepler.com.